5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Are you okay?
Yeah. No. I don't know. It's just listening to you talk, I realize I'll never have a beach house or any of the other things I used to dream about when I was your age.
What are you talking about? You're still young.
Getting older by the minute. I wish I would have met you 5 years ago.
You wouldn't have liked me 5 years ago. I was in sixth grade.
I gotta go.
Oh, hey, come on. Don't you want to wait for the grunion to come?
Everybody, this is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. This episode is season 2, episode 2, The Party Fish. Okay. And now your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Hello.
Are you ready to do this?
I guess.
Are you ready to party with the fish?
Ain't no party like a fish party.
Fish party.
Meow. Meow. Let's start with the B story, which is really like a C plus story. It's so dumb. It's all about Brenda's drama class. Brenda is working on a sense memory exercise. What she's trying to recreate is the feeling of panic that she had when she was a kid and she got lost in a department store and ended up riding the escalators looking for Cindy. But it turns out when she talks to Jim about it, she wasn't actually panicked at all until she realized she was lost when she was alone and just goofing around. She was having the time of her life. Literally end of plot. That's the whole thing. That she goes to tell this story to her drama class and it's like a funny monologue. And this is more of Brenda having the mistaken idea that she's hilarious. But the end of it is her realizing that if she could be that happy when she was alone as a kid, there's no reason that she can't be happy being alone as a teenager now that she's broken up with Dylan 2 days ago. The only clip I have from this storyline is her and Andrea comparing notes in clip number 2.
Oh, God.
What are you doing? Same as you. Avoid going to the beach. Is that obvious, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel that if I ran into Dylan, I couldn't deal with it. I don't know if I can be myself this summer without totally blowing it.
Brenda, tell me, has Brandon asked about me?
Two comments on that. One, you're not going to be spending the summer blowing it because you broke up with Dylan. Hi-yo!
Oh, hi-yo!
And second, God, Andrea, please have some dignity. Please.
Yeah, that will never be happening. I would also like to note, I'm not sure we captured this in the visual aids. I will make sure that we have a little snap of it, but David's hand in the previous scene is on Donna's hip the whole time in this very familiar boyfriendy way.
Oh, I didn't notice that at all, but that's
yes.
Interesting. Yeah, he mooches a ride to the beach with Kelly. That's what occasioned this exchange between Andrea and Brenda. But really, the rest of this storyline is 100% skip. It's really pointless and dumb. Moving on, Brandon has started his job at the beach club and he's already bitching about it in clip number 3.
What's with you?
Job burnout.
After 1 week?
Toughest job I ever had, Dad.
Spending your day at the beach doesn't sound all that difficult.
Ah, but you have no idea what my day is like. The first one there in the morning, practically the last one to leave at night, and I'm so busy all day, the only way I know I'm at the beach is because my shoes are full of sand.
Well, there's no free lunch, Brandon. You get what you pay for in this world.
Ah, but you see, if you were to pay for, oh, let's say, half of what my car costs, I could quit and actually pretend it's summer.
Have a nice day, Brandon.
Wow, what's with the super showcase theme?
I know, it was very, very aggressive cut. Okay, first of all, first one there in the morning and last one to leave. It's not how shifts work at all.
Nope.
Second, boohoo. You're a teenager, you're going to have a shitty job. That's how it works.
Yeah, seriously.
Also, you're drunk and you got behind the wheel, so maybe don't pay for half his car.
Well,
that maybe sends the wrong message.
That'll come
up. Thank you.
That'll come up later. Don't worry.
Oh, good.
So Brandon goes to work. The job he's already burnt out on after a week. Helps this obnoxious blowhard win his paddle tennis match, and we later find out this guy's name is Jerry Rattinger because the writers are nothing if not subtle. And he flirts with there's this girl Sandy that Brandon works with that we heard in the intro clip, and he's flirting with her and Jerry's flirting with her, and we find out Jerry knows Jim. Then we find out that Brandon has a crush on Sandy, and he talks to Dylan, mentions her to Dylan when she goes by. Dylan tells him not to try and get entangled with her at all.
This is Deborah Goodrich, who, if there were any obsessive horror movie fans in the listenership back in the 80s, she was in April Fool's Day.
Oh, interesting. So there, once Dylan has warned Brandon off Sandy, that's only makes him more interested, of course. There's even more reused B-roll, which hear the last episode of this podcast for my complaints about that. Almost all of my notes about Sandy are Sandy flirty to pissy or pissy to flirty, which is just how she is in this episode in like every one of her scenes. It's such a thankless part.
Yeah, true.
And then they're working in the evening, and then the Walshes show up with Jerry Rattinger because they're considering joining the beach club. And then Steve shows up, weirdly, and I have this in the visual aids too as a gif. He sees Cindy and goes and gives her a kiss on the cheek, which seems like a really weird move for a 16-year-old boy and his friend's mom.
Yeah, not the kind of, I mean, it's a little smooth for this doofus, so yeah.
It just seemed like a moment where he, like, Ian Ziering broke character and was like, oh, I'm going to go kiss Carol Potter, my coworker and peer, because they're, like, five years apart. But anyway.
Seriously.
Then he goes over to Brandon and tries to get him to come to a thing that night in clip number 4.
What's with you?
Yeah. Hey, party up.
The Grunion run tonight.
Isn't it a little late for that?
I don't make the schedule. That's the fish.
Grunion or fish?
Yeah, the ultimate California party fish. They come to the beach a couple nights every summer to lay their eggs, so to speak. Yeah, Donald will be there, Kelly, Duchesne, Linda, Kyle, everybody.
Something got happening.
All those people we've never heard of before.
Oh, we'll hear about Kyle again.
Oh, that's
but anyway.
True. That's true. I forgot about Kyle, but not Duchesne, and I have no idea who Linda is. But Brandon is interested, and he decides to go and ask his new friend Sandy in clip number 5.
Hey, listen, I know it's kind of last minute. It's cool to say no, but if you're not doing anything tonight, the Grunion will run.
At which beach do you propose we go to watch this miracle of nature?
Here. Or wherever it is they usually run.
They can come ashore anywhere between Point Conception and the Mexican border, but I really wouldn't know, because after 12 years of living in Los Angeles, I've never actually seen them. In fact, I don't really think they exist, but you know what? If you run into any, give them my best.
Excuse me, did I say something wrong?
No.
Well, obviously I did something to rub you the wrong way.
Why didn't you introduce me to your parents?
What?
Didn't know you wanted to meet them.
We were standing next to them about half a dozen times. It would have been real easy to say, this is my friend from work. Leave it at that.
I didn't think you cared about stuff like that.
Don't flatter yourself.
Okay.
What?
As far as we know, the two of them met today. So why didn't you introduce me to your parents? What is your problem, weirdo?
And if you're not interested, just tell him you're too old for him and let it be that. And at this point, like, you're supposed to think that she has some dark past and it's going to be all, like, scary and complicated, and it must be, or she wouldn't be acting like such a psycho. But no.
This speech actually, this exchange goes on, and we'll hear a little bit of it in clip number 6.
Well, before you make this magnanimous decision, I probably should tell you that some of my high school friends are going to be down there, if that makes a difference to you.
Sarah?
First of all, you meant momentous, not magnanimous.
Mm-hmm.
Magnanimous is you, Brandon. second of all, the music cues in the background of this episode, and I know that I and we comment on them frequently. On Again With This, this is like the most intrusively late 70s divorcee fern bar that they ever get. I mean, and that was like a little Melrosey noodling that was happening in this one. But in the prior one, it was like this reggae music hits. Oh, it's so bad. The whole episode is terrible.
It's very Fantasy Island, like music library. To give you an idea, it's like that loungy and dumb. I agree. I tried to not clip as much of it as I could because it's so terrible, but you're right to call it out because it's terrible, as you will hear if you watch it in any of the currently available forms. Moving on. So Sandy, also, he keeps trying to ask her age and she won't say what it is. Like, whatever. Just say you're 29. Who cares? And then the next day, Brandon is very excited about Jim and Cindy having been at the beach club, but soon his excitement curdles into braying, as it so often does, in clip number 7.
So what's the problem?
It's not a problem. It's just when you factor in the costs of joining a beach club, the numbers just don't add up.
We'd rather spend the money on your college tuition.
Oh, so it's a money thing.
It's not just a money thing.
But then what kind of thing is it, Dad?
Hobnobbing with the Jerry Rattingers of the world can be a lot of fun for a night or two, but in the long run, I think it's much safer to keep your professional life separate from your social life.
What social life? Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
So you think the club is too Beverly Hills she-she for your Midwestern taste buds, is that it?
Did I say anything like that?
I'm just trying to figure out why a place that 99% of the population is dying to get into is not good enough for us to join.
Because it's my decision.
And there's nothing any of us can say to change that, right?
What else is there to say, Brandon?
That's exactly my point, Dad. Thank
Punch
you,
him!
Mom.
Where are you going?
To the beach club.
I thought today was your day off.
It is.
Ooh!
okay. Wow. Jesus Christ.
Why do you care if your parents join the beach club where you work? It's not like you're going to get to enjoy it. And if you did, like, you probably can sign yourself in if you work there to go and hang out. So what's the difference?
I bet you can't, actually, if it's, like, exclusive.
That's true. Maybe you can't. But regardless, get one of your 17 friends who belong there to sign you in.
Ugh. Why? And who takes that tone and thinks it's going to get them what they want?
Brandon.
Yeah,
consistently
right.
Every time.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
this fight also has come out of nowhere. Like, nothing that he's done in the episode has indicated that it's super important to him that his parents join this club. Like, this is very strange, but whatever. So he goes to the club to play tennis with Jerry. Afterwards, they're talking about why he works there and that he needs to buy this car and how. Jerry is like, your father should co-sign the loan for you, and Brandon's like, oh, he thinks it's important that I work for it, and they both laugh at Jim's work ethic behind his back. I forgot to say, Jerry doesn't just know Jim, he's like a new executive client of his. So Jerry's disappointed about the Walshes not joining the club because it's all about making connections, it'll be so good for Jim, blah blah blah. He creepily ogles a very young girl that walks by as they're sitting on the deck. And then bellows to Sandy to get him a drink. So, like, we got it. His name is Rattinger. He's a dick. Point taken. And then Brandon finds Sandy at the bar. This time she's flirty pissy. And he's taking her out for a special event. He rented them a tandem bike.
Oh.
It's
just interminable.
They must have spent, like, $10,000 on this fucking bike because it's on camera more than David or Donna in this episode. Like, there's so many shots of the tandem bike, you would not believe it. And then they have that exchange that we heard up top about what he wants to do in the future and how he wants to buy a beach house. And then they're riding back to the club because she's still in her uniform and I guess has to go back and have her finish her shift. And we'll hear a little bit of awkwardness in clip number 8.
You know, I'm really glad I took this job now. I get the beach, I get the sun, I got the beautiful chick on the front of my bike.
Brandon, you're embarrassing me.
Now, I'm just a lowly podcast producer and self-taught.
Uh-huh.
But even I know that's a terrible audio mix.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Why would you not just cut off the end and have it loop? It's so dumb.
Just more the volume. I couldn't even hear
that
what they're
too.
Saying.
Yes. I mean, it seems like it's probably not, you know, it was mixed low because it's not important what they're saying. But yeah. So in this moment, they drive past Dylan. This is also in the visual aids as a GIF where he like gives them the hairy eyeballs standing on the beach. It's so dumb.
It's so awesome, though. I love Luke Perry in that moment that he's just like, ew,
the
what
fuck?
Stinks? Oh, it's Brandon.
So after he's spotted this apparently scandalous moment, he finds Brandon in the locker room at the club and they have this exchange in clip number 9.
Look, the other day when you were talking to me about Sandy, you didn't tell me you were going to make a move in that direction.
Why, you think she's too old for me?
No, man, age is not the issue. She's just not the right person for you at all.
So what are you saying?
I'd rather not get into specifics, man, but you got to trust me on this one, all right? Before you get in over your head.
Is this your way of telling me you slept with her?
This is my way of telling you to go into this thing with your eyes open, man, or somebody's bound to get hurt.
Well, it's too bad you didn't tell Brandon that before he got her to hop into bed with you.
You kill yourself and went. You broke her heart, you know that, don't you?
No, Jones, I think you got that flipped around. Big time.
I really don't understand why Dylan is being so cagey on this point. Like, I know that this is how his quote-unquote character is quote-unquote written, and that if he just tells Brandon the big reveal, then the episode is 30 minutes long. Just spit it out.
Yeah. It's really dumb, and it's clearly just an excuse also for Brandon to be a shithead to Dylan about the breakup, as if it's any of his business. Anyway, Brandon goes from this exchange to find Sandy crying, and she says she can't make it for whatever plans they had that night. And then he runs into Jerry Ratinger, who's been thinking about Brandon's new car, and we find out more about what Jerry's been thinking in clip number 10.
Jerry Ratinger's offering to buy you a what?
He's not buying me anything, Dad. He's giving me an advance against my salary.
Salary for what?
For working.
Doing what?
Well, this summer I'll be like a gopher, but when school starts up again, he said I could work in his publicity office as a trainee, you know, tied in with the school paper.
But what about the beach club?
No, Henry's got to understand. Ratinger's paying me double my salary, no matter how many hours I work, and even on days when he doesn't need me. It's a win-win deal.
Why is it win? Why is he willing to pay you for doing nothing?
He thinks I'm a good paddle tennis prospect?
This is serious, Brandon.
I don't know, Dad. You know what he's like. He has a different philosophy than you. I think he feels sorry for me because he knows there's no life for a teenager in L.A. without a car. And you know, even though he has two beautiful little girls, I think deep down inside he really wants a son.
Ugh. I do too. I just didn't know he'd go after mine.
Just another reminder, Jim, he's your son, not your boyfriend.
Yeah, and great job you did there.
Yeah, this plan is sketchy as hell. A. B, considering how fired up Brandon was in the last episode about his fucking integrity and honor, I'm surprised he's like, Henry's got to understand. He's going to pay me twice my salary. Like, no, it's one or the other.
Henry can and will step on you and kill you, and I wish he had.
So after they have this conversation, Brandon bitches about it to Brenda in clip 11.
You know, Ratinger said Dad might try to torpedo the whole deal, and I said, no way. I mean, why would he care just so long as I'm working to pay back the loan on the car? And then this morning it hit me. It hit me like a diamond bullet. He doesn't want me to have a car, any car, because he's still punishing me for totaling Mondale.
Good?
Uh-huh. Also, I mean, what is a diamond bullet writer guy?
I have no idea. That's not an expression.
It's for killing a werewolf.
A gold digging werewolf?
Yeah, sure.
Made of glass so you can scratch him to death? No.
There's no evidence that this is why Jim isn't buying Brandon a car. I really think it's just the money, and also he really does want Brandon to work for the stuff that he wants. But also, if he were punishing you for totaling your car, fucking good. That's what you deserve. You drove drunk and totaled your car. The end.
Yeah, that's what happens. Dumb shit.
So, then Jim backs down. Can't talk about it until tonight. Jerry manipulates Brandon into ignoring Jim. Then there's this exchange between Brandon and Jim in clip 12.
When did you start working for my husband?
Oops, nope, wrong
about
clip.
15 minutes ago.
Sorry. This is Jerry sends Brandon to go and get his wife, who he says had too much wine on the beach and is drunk, and Brandon
ironic.
Needs to drive her. This poor woman, so abused and so disgusted with her dumb husband in clip number 12.
When did you start working for my husband?
About 15 minutes ago.
What do you think of him so far?
Your husband's a great guy.
You don't have to put on an act with me, Brandon.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Granger. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'm talking about my husband. I'm talking about his mistress. You're not the first pretty boy he's hired to drive me home from the beach club so he can be with his playthings. Here he's trying to get back with Sandy. Is it true? I can't see it. You work with Sandy, don't you, Brandon?
Yeah.
Whose relative was that?
I know.
That they had to use her. I know they're in a car and whatever, but like, dude, she is terrible.
She's so bad. Even her laugh is like, ha, ha, ha. It's so fake.
Oh,
terrible.
Awful.
Awful. So this is basically the worst thing that could happen for this episode because it gives Brandon a moral high ground to stand on and
God.
Makes him completely insufferable for the entire rest of it. Let's just start running through all the people he's a shithead to, starting with clip 13.
Since you're going up to his cabana, could you take him back his car keys? Tell him thanks, but no thanks, which is pretty much all I gotta say to you, too.
It's not what you think, Brenda. It's not some cheap, sordid affair.
How do you know what I think, Sandy? You don't know me, and I obviously don't know you.
That's right. You don't know me. You don't know anything about me. You don't know what I go through to get up in the morning and look in the mirror. So don't you sit in judgment of me, especially when Mommy and Daddy still pay your bills.
Oh, no, this isn't about my Mommy and Daddy. It's about you and your sugar daddy. So you better run along up to him, since he's the one who pays all your bills.
What?
Drops the keys.
Such an asshole. Okay, if she really were a kept woman, would she be working at the beach club? No. That's a menial job. She would be hanging out in her condo and getting her nails done and keeping it right and tight for her man. That's the
mm-hmm.
There's no evidence that he pays her bills. So fuck off, Brandon, first of all. And even if he were, none of your business. Really none of your business.
So not your business. The grown-ups are talking / fucking. Put the car back where you found it and fuck off.
Yeah. So Brandon's all disillusioned now because the girl he likes had a secret that he didn't approve of. So he has to go home to Jim. And then this is what the scene that I was thinking of before, where Jim has had a change of heart about the car loan and decided maybe he should co-sign it after all, and then decides to twist the knife unknowingly in clip 14.
There's just one more thing I want to say to you. It's...
I love you.
What my father said to me on the morning I left for university. He said... Don't sell yourself short. Be your own man, Brandon. Everything else will fall into place.
What does that mean relative to the events that Jim knows about is what I would like to know.
Mm.
Anyway.
Also, what weird university advice.
Yeah. Also, who says university? You're American. Anyway, then Brandon goes to work the next day and runs into Jerry in the locker room and confronts him in his usual braying way in clip 15.
Well, if it isn't the king of the Cabana Boys. I was wondering if we were going to see you today.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing. My father said I should honor my commitments.
Good for Jim. Your father's a very honorable man.
Mr. Rattinger, anything you have to say to my father, I suggest you say it to him and not to me.
Did he tell you to say that, or did you think it up all by yourself?
Thank you.
You know, they tell me the car that you drove last night really excels at handling the bumps, taking the curves. I wish the same could be said of the driver.
Yeah, it was an all right car. It's no 65 Mustang.
It got very ugly last night. Very embarrassing, very unnecessary. I really could have taught you something.
Like what? Like how to hurt people? Deceive them, intimidate them?
Brandon.
Sandy's a nervous wreck, Mr. Rattinger. She's a wreck because of you.
As far as Sandy is concerned, my conscience is crystal clear. As far as we're concerned, I think Henry Thomas is looking for you. In your next job, kid.
I just had another thought while we were listening to that clip, too. How bad is this guy at cheating on his wife that he's seeing his mistress at their cabana at the beach club where they and all their friends are members? Like, everyone would know about this. Why wouldn't he have some kind of fuck pad to set her up in?
Right. But then again, why would he care? Like, well, if he's that true. Rich and powerful.
I guess.
Like, his wife... This isn't the first time he's did it. I mean, okay. Well, on whatever time, like if it's the 9th time or the 10th time, like here you still are.
Yeah.
Day drinking, getting driven home by elves. So.
Well.
Like, shut up or leave. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. And by the way, we never see any of these people again either. I assume that goes without saying. So none of this really matters. So Brandon takes Jerry's cue and walks very aggressively like a fucking jerk up to Henry's office and pounds on the door. Yes, there's
a
gif.
Did you gif this?
Of course.
Because I have a freeze frame of like the, it's the stereotypical 11-inch penis paddle walk from our...
Yeah, his legs are so far apart, it really is like he just climbed off a horse. Like, nothing else makes sense. His walk is so weird.
And then with the arm motions, it's like he's in, like, nipple-deep water all the time.
Right.
Thought your wind resistance was less when you were that tiny.
Yeah, so check that out in the visual aids. So he goes to see Henry and is a cock about everything, as usual, in clip 16.
My fire.
Yep.
You weren't, but now you are.
What is this damn it Henry business? Rattinger ordered me to fire you. I told him I would consider it. It's been considered. It's been rejected. And if he don't like it, let him try and run this place without me in the middle of July.
Thanks.
Not that you're any good at what you do. I just don't want you to get the wrong impression. Not everything around here is bought and paid for.
What about Sandy?
She quit.
Yeah, I figured as much.
Shut up.
Yeah, think she's got troubles. You ever watch The Young and the Restless?
No.
What?
Henry!
Oh, Henry.
I'm so glad he quit this job and went and became a surgeon in Seattle, because he was way too good for this piece of shit.
He's way too good for that piece of shit, too, but at least it's a slightly smaller gap.
Yes. So, yeah, I don't know. Okay, thanks. That's a good start. How about sorry? Sorry I stormed in here and put you on your heels like this, as if I had any right to do so. Like, what
Since
is your
apparently
problem?
At some point I was going to quit on you anyways?
Yeah. Ugh. He's the worst.
Captain Integraton.
God, worst, worst. So,
and it's about to get even worse here in this next clip, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So Brandon is walking by the panel tennis court where he first saw Jerry Ratinger playing some guy. He was called upon at that point to make a judgment of whether the ball was in or out. He ruled in Jerry's favor. So now here's the parallel scene. What's going to happen this time, knowing what Brandon knows now? Let's play clip 17 and find out.
Al, are you crazy? That was in my country mile.
I'm not giving you the point, Jerry.
I'm not going to argue with you about it, Edgar. Do you see it, Brandon?
Yeah, I saw it.
What was it?
Oh, hey. All right. Listen, we'll just take it over.
What for? Brandon saw it.
So? What's the call, Brandon?
It was in. Like I said, I call him like I see him. Jerry?
God.
Jerry.
I said good day. Yes.
I just...
Yeah.
He's just repellent. I am repelled.
I mean, the thing is, when you look back over this, the first like two seasons of this show, well, I guess not the first, up until when Brandon meets Emily Valentine, he's never with a girl for more than one episode. And the reason is he doesn't love anyone as much as he loves himself. Like, he thinks he is the shit, and every episode is basically about that.
Yeah, pretty
and
much.
I hate how much the storylines have to support him being right, because he doesn't deserve to be right that much. He's a dick.
No.
Anyway.
Forever.
No. Brandon goes and runs into Sandy getting ready to leave town, because I guess all of her earthly possessions were at the beach club.
And that, thank you, Jesus. What the hell?
I have in my notes, fattest headscarf tie ever. When I was clipping this shot for the visual aids, I noticed, and I put arrows, that it's actually two bandanas tied together and layered on each other. It's like a loaf of bread wrapped around her head. It's so thick and fat.
I did notice that. How is that even staying on? Like, I don't know. This is the kind of thing I notice. Because I am a pinhead, mm-hmm. So whenever there's any kind of like headband narrative,
yeah,
on any screen, I'm looking to see how it might be adapted for a, you know, pinhead of of my tiny stature. But yeah, that really was like there must have been like 15 secret pins, because there's no hair left for it to grab onto.
Yeah, she has really thin hair too. But yeah, it's like I mean, you'll have to see it to understand what we're talking about. It's crazy. But anyway, then we get the button on the Sandy story in clip 18.
He told me he loved me. He said he'd leave his wife and children. It's 2 years ago.
Sorry.
Being with you, though, listening to your approach to things, it's really helped me to see how jaded and angry I am.
What? I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't either.
So Brandon now realizes what Dylan was trying to tell him, and he finds him at the beach club and tries to make up with him by buying him lunch, which Dylan then insists on eating with his shirt off. Like, I know it's a beach club, but you're eating. Like, at least put on a t-shirt with
also,
your...
Also, we might like to eat ever again.
He has the tiniest... I mean, you saw it in the stick insect picture from the baseball episode, but when his... With a shirt off, you really can see his head is so big and his chest is so tiny. His head is like half the width of his chest. More. It's like a, like two-thirds the width of his chest. There's a picture in the visual aids. Anyway, then he also, he says the next time Brandon asks if Dylan's been with a girl that Brandon likes, Dylan gets a free one anywhere, which meaning a punch, but okay.
Gross.
And then Andrea
Jim's
and Brenda show up.
Like that.
Then Andrea and Brenda show up because they've overcome their, I don't know, beach resistance. Kelly and Donna are laughing at Steve because he's had a crush on this girl that was really young and now she's into David. And then everyone is meeting up on the beach for the Grunion Run, and I didn't clip it, but there's...
Oh, God.
There's terrible sub-music here that I'm pretty sure used to be Michael Penn. That's just the way it is, baby. I think that was the song originally.
I bet Michael Penn was like, take that shit off. I'm never giving you the rights. Good for him.
There's a lot of offenses in this shot. You can see them in the visual aids. Uh-huh. Dylan in his short sleeve Baja hoodie thing. Brandon in a toque. I mean, I know it's nighttime and it gets chilly, but not that chilly. It's just really a lot. Then Donna spots the Grunions. They're up on the beach. Hooray for everything. And that's the episode. That's why it's called The Party Fish. It's really a lame tie-in for the title. But, yeah. Anything to add before we move on to the MVP?
No, just that Brenda is also wearing a sweatshirt the size of North Dallas.
Oh, yeah, she is.
Huge.
That's how big sweatshirts were back then, though. Like, yeah, in fairness, we all were wearing XL sweatshirts. God knows why.
And Benetton bandage skirts. Yeah. Guilty.
Yep. Me too. Who's your MVP for the episode, Sarah?
Everyone's pretty shitty and stupid. I will go with Edgar.
The paddle tennis
opponent.
Because
he seems
opponent.
Like the kind of competitive, like, point arguer on the paddle tennis court, who I enjoy. And also, that guy's delivery is hilarious. So, Edgar.
I'm going to give it to Henry again, even though that's predictable, just for his line reading on, what?
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That's how I like to say it, too. And he's talking about soaps, and that's just funny.
Least, yeah, it is.
Least valuable player. They really make it so easy. Obviously, it's Brandon.
Yes. Oh, my God. By a mile. The worst. With a diamond bullet.
Is there
whatever.
Seriously is something in every single one of the clips that I clip to be like, even if that's the only thing he said in the episode, it would make him the worst. Like, yelling at Sandy, yelling at Jim, yelling to Brandon about how he's being punished, or to Brenda about how he's being punished for wrecking his car. Like, any one of those would be enough. Now,
and it's
like,
just so, I mean, you guys will see in the visual aids, like, he is furious, and it's so funny.
And it's none of his business. None of this is his business at all. Like, Sandy kisses him one time. Big fucking deal. She's not your property. Ugh. All right. Kim Challenge.
Boy. Mad, bad, and dangerous to know.
5 ways in this episode that Dylan proved he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. I'm still not convinced that he didn't sleep with Sandy, so let's say he's probably got STDs because he's a slut.
Okay. I'm not convinced he didn't sleep with Sandy either, although he's right to tell Brandon son of his business, but incurring the wrath of a powerful guy like Jerry Ratinger doesn't seem like a great thing for a 16-year-old, basically parentless boy to be doing.
He might get you kicked out of the beach club for eating without a shirt on.
He'll land you on the international worst dress list if you're photographed next to him while he's wearing his short sleeve Baja top.
Yeah, God. He might get you shot in crossfire when someone tries to take him out for wearing that Baja top. It's really bad.
Oh, it's awful.
And it's,
I think it might have a hood too.
You're going to see it so many times. Like, it's just, it, again, it gets more screen. It's like second to the tandem bike gets the most screen time, anything on this series so far. So yeah, those are 5 reasons. Yeah.
That's another episode of Again With This. Thanks for joining us. Next time, Dylan's dangerous surfing leads to some dangerous couch surfing and summer love at the Walshes, and Kelly's new friend turns out to be a friend of Dorothy. Spoiler! You can read all about these wonderful plot lines and see the visual aids at previously.tv. You can follow us on Twitter at previouslyTV, me at Tomato Nation, Dave Cole at Glark, and my esteemed colleague Tara Ariano at Tara Ariano. See you next time. Bye, Mabel.
And this is your Flash the Cash DJ, and you're listening to KWBH. See ya!
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.